What's going up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Infinity Boxer Watch. I am your Infinity Boy, Anthony, alongside your Boxman, Brian. Brian, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm better now that we have X-Men 97 episodes 1 and 2 to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. As always, welcome to the show. Welcome to the X-Men 97 podcast. We're going to be talking about the season. All these next 7 weeks or so here on the podcast, so get ready for that. That's going to be fun. But first, as always, as we always do on this podcast, we're going to start with the news in the news, Brian. And we haven't been here for a couple weeks. Yeah, we haven't been here a couple weeks. So we have some things to talk about. Let me grip my list. All right, first off, thing that teased me the most this week. We finally got our first look at the Penguin. Well, not the first look. We've seen a look before the strike. We got a teaser trailer, about a minute or so of footage, content. I don't know, man. I like the Reeves universe. I like the Batman. I think this is going to be cool. I don't know. They said it's 8 episodes, which seems like a lot. But I'm into it. I think it's going to be cool. It's set right after the Batman movie ends. And it's the Penguin's rise through to the top. And it's got the mother from How I Met Your Mother in it. And I'm in. Sure. It's coming, dropping this fall. I liked the trailer, Brian. How about you?
Yeah, I liked it. It seemed very, Italian gangster, mafioso sort of feel, which is basically how he runs his crime in the city.
Yes. And I like the cinematics of it, cinematography of it, you know. I love the way Reeves lights the Batman. I thought that was one of the better parts of the movie.
Yeah.
So going back there and just seeing it, you know, again is cool. Especially after, you know, a few weeks ago they announced that we're not getting the Batman 2 in 2025, unfortunately. It'll be good to re-enter that world.
Right.
Yeah.
I trust Reeves, especially Gotham, for those who watched it, was a Penguin show for some reason.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I don't know, eventually it just stopped working, so I was skeptical of this one, but Penguin already established and being that crime lord kind of dude, I'm in.
Yeah, the whole Gotham thing, I was in on that for a while, and then I just dropped off gradually. I was a big, I loved the little Logue. I love the guy who played Penguin in that one, but I just it lost my interest very easily.
It lost a lot of people eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm interested. I'm excited. Sometime this fall, not a date, but they said fall, so that'll be interesting. Right, I think they filmed a lot on location here in New York. I know Long Island City and whatnot, so that'll be fun.
Yep.
Next up, still in DC, we got some news from the Joker 2, Folie à Deux, that it's going to be a jukebox musical, Brian, which is good. Todd Phillips didn't have to write his own songs, which scared me. About 15 songs, they said, which is weird because, I don't mind. I love musicals. I saw Wonka. I saw all these musicals that came out recently. I like music in my movies. I have no problem with that. Lady Gaga, she's singing. She's great. But 15 songs, they try to play it off like it wasn't going to be a musical, and 15 songs is a lot of songs.
15's a lot. I'm getting Moulin Rouge kind of vibes here, because that was kind of a jukebox musical.
Yeah.
And it could be a lot of fun. I mean, everyone knows the songs going in.
Yeah.
Original, they said they might do a couple original, but yeah, I'm guessing it'll be one maybe.
Yeah.
Max two. So I think this could work. They're quirky enough. They sing to each other in the comics. Yeah. It could be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm in. As someone who didn't think that Joker needed a sequel, they immediately hooked me with the musical hook. I think it's going to be cool. I think it's different, too. You know, when people, always talking about their I got superhero fatigue because I'm a little bitch. This is different, at least. You want fucking something else. Here it is. Fucking eat it.
Bitch. Yeah, here it is. You want different? This is different.
Yeah, you fuck. So that's exciting.
Yeah, you hear that, listener? Yeah. You fucked.
Yeah. So that's coming out in October. That'll be fun. That's a few months away. Hopefully we'll get a trailer soon for that. That'll be cool. Next up, moving over to Marvel. Not a ton of news. Marvel, they're filming some stuff this year. Not going to get a lot of stuff from them until Comic-Con, probably. But they did confirm that Nova is still in development, and everyone thinks that it's Ryan Gosling. What do you think?
Probably.
I agree.
I don't know. Like, he could be something fun or random.
Yeah, it's unconfirmed, but everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Ryan Gosling. I think he'll be great. I don't really give a shit about Nova.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why he is going to be Nova, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's like a small subset of fans that give a shit about Nova, you know what I mean?
Oh, BD always talks about Nova, and they want him to be Nova. Like, shut up.
No one wants him to be Nova, except for him.
Well, he did.
Yeah, he wants to do it. But no one with a brain.
I'm kind of like, maybe figure out your fucking universe and the problems right now before we start pulling in new heroes, but I get it. They don't want to take their foot fully off the gas.
Yeah. We'll see. It's still sort of a mess, but I think they're working on it, and we'll have a full restructured slate come July. So,
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think you're gonna get the big movies are gonna be pushed back another year or two each, and they gotta fit in. They seemingly want to do, you know, Spider-Man 4 and Shang-Chi and all these guys leading up to the Avengers, and we'll see. Yep. We'll very much see, and they gotta drop all these shows that they've had in the can, like Daredevil and Ironheart and all this shit. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm very much looking forward to Comic-Con this year. I want to see how they've restructured it. It's very interesting. As someone who's like, you know, my brain needs things in order, I need to see how they reorder this stuff.
Yeah, they're going to have a whole updated timeline, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, big time. That's, like, the whole main thing.
Yep.
What else do we have here on our docket, Brian? Star Wars Acolyte trailer dropped. That show is coming out.
Yeah.
That show is coming out June? It was June, right?
I think it's right.
Yeah. I'll
double check while you talk about the trailer.
I liked this trailer a lot. Well, first of all, it starts off with a little youngling monster who I was just like, that's the cutest motherfucker I've ever seen. And if you don't know about the Acolyte is a show set about 100 years before Phantom Menace, so it's completely new characters, nobody you've ever seen before, and it's finally dealing with like the middle to fall of the High Republic, which, you know, you only really hear about in the movies and such. So you're finally going ahead and you're seeing all the stuff that happens before, you know, the Skywalkers and stuff like that, which is cool. That's uncharted territory. You could do anything. There's no, like, you know, when you're watching these movies now, you're like, oh, you know, of these shows, you're like, oh, Ahsoka can't die because she's got to be in a movie. So there's, like, no real stakes to these shows until they finally do the big crescendo movie. But now, like, you do not know what's going to happen in this. Like, Andor is perfect. You know how Andor's story ends. So you're just, you know, you're waiting. You know nothing's going to happen to him. So I think maybe that was also, thinking back on it, one of my problems with Andor. Because, you know, we were one of the lowest people on that. A lot of people like that show. But I was just like, I guess maybe I was just like, there's no stakes. I know Andor's not going to die until right before the end of Rogue One, you know? So
yeah. So when he's in danger, it's like, eh?
Yeah. That's the problem with doing stuff like that. When you know the end to the character. Like, yep. Like, as much as I loved Obi-Wan, and I thought that scene with Anakin and Obi-Wan was incredible at the end of that series. I get why people didn't like it, maybe, because, like, you know that Obi-Wan's just going to walk away and go back into hiding. So, like, you know, no real stakes there. But I thought that was still badass, because, you know, it's fucking Ewan and fucking Hayden. It's awesome. But yeah, a lot of people didn't like this trailer, Brian. It's got a lot of negative feedback on YouTube. I liked it. I'm excited for it. Star Wars fans are the worst.
Yeah, you can't please Star Wars fans.
No.
I mean, it didn't, you know, it wasn't like this crazy long detailed trailer that gives us this whole story that we can rip apart. Like, it was a trailer to give us a sneak peek. It was the first peek in it. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's like a little detective show, and it's going to be blood and death and cute younglings.
I think there was a Wookiee Jedi.
There's a Wookiee Jedi? Yeah, come on. This shit looks awesome. I'm into it. They didn't use the volume, Brian. Have you heard about these people that complain about the way they shoot the Star Wars shows on this, like, volume set?
No.
They apparently did all practical sets for this show, so it's supposed to be
really
good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, that's fun. And then finally, Brian, also in June. Did we confirm that the Acolyte's in June?
June 4th.
Okay, perfect. Also in June, coming to HBO. This thing got to film during the strike for some reason, and it's coming out in June as well. House of the Dragon. We got two trailers, one black, one green.
Oh, yeah.
I watched both of them, even though I'm team black, you fucks.
I'm team black as well.
Yeah. How could you not be with Damon? He's the best.
Yep.
But I watched both. They're both pretty cool. I thought, you know, they rejuvenated Game of Thrones 2 years ago, whatever. It was 2 years ago now, right? That season.
Yeah.
It's crazy how long it takes for them to film those things. But I guess a lot of CGI
stuff.
But I thought it rejuvenated my interest in that show universe. Not show, because it's not Game of Thrones, it's House of Dragon. But like that universe, I've been rejuvenated. I'm interested in all these. Like, you know, they're just spinning off. Now they're doing the Duncan Egg spinoff. They're doing the Jon Snow one eventually. You know, I'm like, you know what? Take me back there. I'm into it.
Yep. It was risky, but we back.
Yeah, well, you know what? They showed D&D the door. D&D fucked that show because they're lazy fuck shit writers and producers and whatever the fuck they did. They fucking ruined that shit. And you got some fucking competition.
I remember when when House of the Dragon was starting, we were like, so many Thrones fans have a bad taste in their mouth. Yeah. They might just not tune in and this will flop. But they tuned in. They were like, all right, I'll give it another shot. And people seem to love it.
Yeah, it was great. Season one, fantastic. Loved it. Very much looking forward to season two. Fucking eat shit, D&D. You were terrible, and you ruined the end of that show for a lot of people.
Eat shit, D&D.
D&D and Baze and Thomas from How I Met Your Mother, just two of the biggest shit jobs to ever close shows in the history of television. Like, just
great.
Bravo. But, like, you should get together, shake each other's hands, clap for each other, and just fucking eat a plate of dog shit because you ruined two of my favorite TV shows of all time. So good job.
Yeah.
Good job to you. Yeah, Fox. Speaking of my favorite TV shows of all time, let's talk about X-Men 97. I was telling Brian before that I'm redoing my rewatch. And when I say rewatch, I mean I haven't watched X-Men the Animated Series since I was probably like 10, 9? Around then, you know?
Well,
I guess if this ended in 96, I was like 7, 8, that area.
Yep.
Used to watch it every Saturday morning. It was cool. Loved it. You know, watching it, it's funny. Well, I'm halfway through season. So what happened, guys, Brian? I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to watch all these and then we're going to lead up. I was so busy that I only got halfway through season two. So I did watch a season and a half and then jump immediately to the end for X-Men 97, which picks up right where the first things left off. So I'm doing a time jump, which is fine. It's fine, guys. I've seen these episodes before.
Yep.
But I'm just doing a rewatch, I gotta say, as a kid, I definitely was not, like, I just thought it was cool, and I remember some scenes and stuff like that, but I do not remember, like, I'll say the original series, the writing on it, tremendous, very good stories. We'll talk about it, but, like, you know, it's the 90s. It's the early 90s, too, when the show started. And, you know, the animation is not what you expect. So jumping, not like what you expect from watching it now. So jumping from, like, watching the original 90s show into the animation for 97, but it's, like, the same characters and everything like that, it was, oh, it had me going, Brian. I was like, this animation style is so sick. It's still, like, based on that 90s style. It's, like, the same, like, you know, they look the same. It's not like the What If style, but oh man, is it so crisp, and the fighting and the beams and the sentinels and the flying and everything is just so much more nicer animation wise. It's crazy. And you know, it's been 30 years about almost, right? So it makes sense. But it was jarring to go from, hey, I just watched this episode from the original series, but they dropped 97, so let's watch it, and then just be like blown away by the animation. It was something to see.
Yeah, and like it's great of an animation, but also I don't know, they did it in such a way where like it still looks like you're watching like a classic cartoon style. It's just in this crisp,
yes,
like perfect, however you want to describe it. But it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm watching a cartoon in 2024. It's like, yeah, I'm revisiting the X-Men from the 90s, just nicer in HD or something.
Yeah, it was perfect. But we'll get into it when we mention specific things, because there's a lot of cool stuff. We had two episodes here. First episode's called To Me, My X-Men. The second one is The Mutant Liberation Begins. And where do you want to start, Brian?
The first episode, I think.
Let's start with the first and then the second. Yeah, that's where that works.
Yeah. So, first of all, I hope you didn't skip past the theme song.
Of course not. Dude, I don't understand. Even when I'm watching the 90s ones, they give you the option to skip. It's like, I should smack you for making that an option. The theme song is the best.
For this show, they should have taken it away.
Yeah, no one wants to skip the X-Men theme. It's iconic.
Yep. Agreed. So we start off, Professor X is no more.
Yes.
Which is real sad. So he's gone. The X-Men are, you know, continuing to do their thing. We start off the episode, they save
it's a year after as well. So he's been gone for a year, and Cyclops has been running the X-Men for a year.
Which he would.
Yeah, of course. Well,
so they save Roberto da Costa.
Yeah, Sunspot.
Good old Sunspot. From like this, you know, warehouse with a bunch of goons and a bunch of Sentinel mentality. They're the friend mentality machinery.
Yep. Yes, the Friends of Humanity. That's a long-running anti-mutant group from the original series.
Yep, so they've been, you know, basically just getting rid of people that have mutant abilities. Yeah. So they, you know, they try and capture Sunspot. The X-Men show up, save him, get him the hell out of there. And, like, in this fight, they, you know, introduce the X-Men one at a time. Storm always has the most badass entrances.
Yes.
And this kind of lets you know, like, what everyone's up to. Like Jean Grey is pregnant.
Yes.
So her and Scott have a couple discussions, like maybe they should kind of head on out. Like, this is no way to raise a baby while you're X-Men fighting.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know what they, all right, first introduction to Jean is you know, they have a what's his face capture that dude is Henry.
Yes.
Gale, and basically he just kind of knows like who's behind shit that's going on with the anti-mutant brigade.
Yes.
And she's using Cerebro, yeah, and she wants to know who's behind. Like, they thought all the Sentinel technology was gone. Yeah. They want to know who's behind it? How did it come back? And we learned that it is Olivar Trask, yes. Who is a pretty popular villain.
Yes. He's in the original series, and if you remember from Days of Future Past, the movie, played by Peter Dinklage.
There you go. He is the, he was like a scientist, created the Sentinels.
Yep.
So, makes sense that he would have been the one to keep them afloat. So, yeah, the Cerebro also fucks with Jean's mind.
Yes.
Like, no one can really control it, like, Professor X can.
Yeah, she sees, like, this crazy vision of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Really messes with her mind. Really kind of just enforces that her should probably leave.
Yeah.
So, they determine Trask is behind this. So they, you know, he's in the Sahara Desert, so they go to meet up with him. And we got a cool fight scene here with all the X-Men, the Sentinels. And Master Mold is one of them, who they're able to, who's getting controlled. He's like just this.
It's just a bigger, kind of Master Mold dude. Is a bigger Sentinel that makes other Sentinels.
Yeah, like, and like some of them are named.
Yeah.
Like, he's just one of the bigger ones that have a name.
Yeah.
So they do defeat all the Sentinels. We got a cool Gambit powering up. Wolverine here.
Oh, this was,
yeah, you know, they all show off their powers.
Yeah, this was a hell of a way to start the series, especially if you're just jumping in, you haven't watched the original series. Cyclops, absolute badass in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's
a lot of memes about it.
Yeah, because he's, like, you know, never cool in any of the live-action movies. And, like, he's okay in the original series, what I've seen so far. But I wouldn't label him as, like, super cool. But they finally did him justice in this thing. And he was so fucking cool in this episode.
At one point, someone said something to him. And he did, like, a head tilt and then blew him away with the visor. Yep. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Like, you make him not a dweeb and give him a little confidence, and he's cool. Who knew?
Like, you know, most of the time, you know, you watch X-Men movies, you watch X-Men cartoons, whatever, you read the books, and you're like, come on, Gene, like, Logan is right there. He's so much better. But here, I'm kind of like, I don't know, man, like, fucking Scott was cool. Like, I, you know, fucking.
He's cool.
Yeah, like, fucking.
He's no longer just, like, the boring Captain America equivalent here.
Yes. Was really enjoying it.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he was sick in this episode. I would like to see this type of Cyclops in the movies when they make the live action.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it's crazy, too.
Somewhat arrogant,
like,
one.
You had, like, you know, Marsden doing it, and, like, he's a good actor, and never hit.
He could have done it, yeah, but they went with the Goody Two Shoes version.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they arrest Trask. Cyclops and Jean are like, you know, maybe we should get on out of here. And even, like, Wolverine and a couple of the others, they kind of anticipate that that's where this is going.
Yeah.
But they head back to the mansion, and they realize that someone is there. And they go to Xavier's office. And who is there but your boy Magneto?
Yes.
And he has Xavier's will. And Xavier left him in control of the Institute and leading the X-Men.
Yep. And everyone's
great,
like,
endings to the first episode.
Everyone's like, what?
Yep. Yeah, it was fun. And I was waiting for him the whole time. I was like, come on, he's got to pop up. I think that's the first episode. That's
the whole first episode, yes.
Yeah. It brings us to number two. And I think going forward, we only get one a week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, episode two, Mutant Liberation begins. Magneto is basically a good guy now.
Yeah, he basically is like, you know, I love Charles, even though we didn't agree, and he's leaving his legacy to me, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make sure I live up to what he expects.
Yep. So he's saving humans. He's not gonna go and kill people who are anti-mutant anymore. He's kind of like, yeah, we all just get along.
Yeah.
So The because, you know, he is a horrific terrorist who killed a lot of people. And he's pretty much always on the run. He just, you know, he, when he's not actively doing anything, they probably stop looking for him. Yep. But he's here now. People kind of know about it. So the UN comes to arrest him. And, you know, in normal circumstances, this would be a huge fight, like in the first X-Men movie when he owns all the cops. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's funny because she's like, what is it? The UN lady is goes. I love Magneto, you know, when they make him badass. She goes to, yeah, like, oh, we have plastic guns. You can't. And he goes, morons. And he just, he fucking brings all the helicopters and aims their blades towards them. He's like, really? Like, yep. I just want you to know that you fucked up, and I could win right now, but I'm not going to.
They always underestimate him.
Yes. He's like, you fucking morons.
Yeah. So he owned them peacefully and then decides to go with them.
Yes.
To which the X-Men are like, do we have to trust this guy now? Like, is he a good guy? I'm confused. And Jean and Cyclops decide, all right, we're not going anywhere right now while this fucking psycho's running the X-Men. So there's a trial at the UN, and the Friends of Humanity wind up showing up. Yep. And there's another long fight here.
Yes.
With a lot of cool ones. Again, Storm, badass.
Oh, we forgot to mention in the first episode, the Sentinels said that Storm is an Omega level mutant. So that was important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was important.
Yeah. So they wind up, you know, another general X-Men fight scene here. But they shoot this radiation at Magneto. Storm gets hit.
Storm jumps. Not only gets hit, poor she jumps in front of him.
Yeah. She goes to save him. She's like all in on trusting him.
Yeah.
This shows you Storm is a true good character. So the big thing is, you know, like the whole fight stops, and this whole started with Genosha.
Yes,
the mutant. Which yeah, they talk about it a lot in all the X-Men comics,
and it is a big part of the show so far that I've watched the original. They go there a bunch.
Yeah. It's like an island in like South Africa.
Yeah.
And you know they basically want to talk about, you know, how can we make the people, all the mutants there and any mutants that are hiding anywhere else feel comfortable to come out. Because, like, even the UN, for the most part, they're comfortable with humans and mutants. It's these Friends of Humanity that think mutants are horrific. Yeah. So Magneto's coming around. He's, you know, holding his own. Jean goes into labor.
Jean and Logan stayed back to the mansion. And, yeah, she starts going to labor, and Storm makes Rogue take Scott to the hospital, so they're down people, and that ends up being why, like, she takes the bullet from Magneto. They're fucked and such like that.
Yeah. And at the hospital, this doctor's like, oh, you're a mutant, fuck off, I'm not delivering you, baby.
Yeah.
So Rogue just takes all of his knowledge.
Yes. I like it, too. Jean was like, Rogue, just take his... She was like, just do it. Take his knowledge.
It wasn't even a debate. Yep.
She, like, Rogue, yep, like, so... looks at Scott, and she's like, he's just like, do it.
Yeah. So she touches the doctor, gets all of his knowledge, and delivers little baby Cable.
Yeah, little... I was like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? What's his name going to be? And when they said Nathan, I was like, oh, shit, it's Cable.
Yep. Yeah, they didn't pull a stupid Madam Web and not give it a name.
Yes. And then you definitely know it's Cable by the end of the episode because of what happens. But we'll talk about that in a second. Because first, we got to talk about Magneto doing his incredible fucking monologue. Like, again, I'm watching this, and I'm like, they're fucking nailing this. I'm like, holy shit.
It's a great voiceover to just... you know, everything that the other X-Men are up to, like the cleaning up from the fight, the what the Friends of Humanity are up to, the baby back at the mansion. It reminded me of like, it shouldn't because this came first, but it reminded me of like a great speech that Ian McKellen would have given in the movies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he's so upset after he sees what happens to Storm, and he's basically like, you know, I would have seen this, you know, in the past, and I would have just killed everyone here because of what you did to my people. And then he takes the executioner, by the way, is the person who shot
Storm. Yeah, executioner.
And he takes the executioner and the UN people up into space, basically. And he's just like, you're so easy to kill. I could fucking kill all of you, but I'm not going to. We're going to be better than this. We're gonna work together and blah, 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 Charles Xavier. And I was just like, I was just dying during the whole thing. I was just like, holy shit.
Yep, they nailed it.
What a fucking episode.
He's a good guy now.
Yeah. And it's good too, because he still holds that fine line where he could definitely go off and, you know, be a villain again. But and he rides that line perfectly where like you want to root for him, you know. He's the fuck, you know, he's a Holocaust survivor and all he wants is equal rights for the mutants and stuff like that. And but you know, sometimes he takes it like way too far. But if he's gonna listen to you know, Professor Xavier's way, which is the right way and whatnot, you know, it's a very interesting character to be.
It is.
And he doesn't wear the helmet, you know, Xavier's gone, so he doesn't wear the helmet, so he's got his hot gray white hair flowing in the wind. Yep. And that's why Rogue wants to fuck him.
Basically, yeah. Rogue's into him. Storm lost her powers permanently, which is what we learned.
Yes.
Beast tells her. Real sad.
Yes.
And someone else shows up at the mansion at the end.
Also, we gotta talk about Sad Gambit real quick. He saw...
Sad Gambit.
Yeah, he dropped it. You notice they nailed this show. He's like standing there and he's holding a card and it drops and it's the Queen of Hearts.
Yep.
Also, I guess if you weren't watching the original series, which I don't think you did, him and Rogue are like a thing. Like he's in love with her.
Yeah.
He's in love with her, but he can't touch her. That's the issue. So.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's sad, little sad Gambit. But Eric can touch her because he's magnetic. So.
Yeah.
That just makes sense to me. A little Sad Gambit. But yeah, Morph is just like, so they're reading this letter that Storm wrote, and everyone's like, we have to go after her. And Magneto's like, we have to respect her wishes. She's not a mutant anymore. And Morph is just like, she's going to come back, watch. And then the bell rings. He goes, oh, there she is. And he opens the door, and there's Jean Grey. And they're like, excuse me? Why are there two of you? And I'm like, oh shit, they're doing mad. They're like, this show is going to just basically pull from the comics, like exactly, which is so good because those X-Men stories are just fucking incredible. They're doing Madeline Pryor and Jean Grey in the second fucking episode with Cable. And it's just like, they're going to fucking do all the good shit from the comics. It's amazing. I love it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So which one is Jean Grey? Probably the one that walked through the door because Madeline Pryor is the one that gives birth to Cable. But yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for episode 3. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
And Madeline, and I know Fran, who is our friend who lost my brother-in-law, who lost his mind at this because basically everything that he did, like all of his passwords and everything, is Goblin Queen, which is what Madeline Pryor is known as.
There you go.
So he's just like, oh shit, they're doing this. I am more in than I even was before.
Yep. Yeah, like, you know, I guess it's harder when you do live action. They change a lot of shit. But with animation, you could kind of just adapt the comics perfectly in animation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you do it, right? Like, why wouldn't you? If you're just animating it, just fucking adapt the comics perfect. And that's two episodes in. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
So yeah, next week we'll be back. Episodes drop on Wednesday, and they're not doing it like they did the live action shows. They're just dropping it at like 3 a.m. again, which is fine because that makes sense.
Yeah.
You want to like watch it in the morning, like it's a morning cartoon. Like that's what we do here. So
I saw someone say my only problem with X-Men 97 is that they didn't drop these episodes on Saturday morning.
You know what? Yeah, that would have made sense. But I assume middle of the week is probably you'll get more people to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the weekly for the ratings or whatever.
Right.
But it definitely should have been a Saturday morning drop, I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, exciting. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more episodes. So it is a 10-episode season, which is exciting. Most of the original series seasons are 13 episodes, so I would have accepted 13 episodes because, man, I'm so excited about what I've seen so far. And just, you know, we haven't, you know, he hasn't had a very big part yet. But shout out to Logan, shout out to Wolverine. Probably my favorite part of either episode was when he was chilling at the mansion with Jean or Madeline, we don't know. And the baby, the water breaks and the baby's coming and she goes, "Logan, he's here." And he goes, "Who, Apocalypse?" And he springs out his blades. I was like, yep. I love him. Oh my God.
Fucking and
then
psycho.
And then she goes, "No, the baby." And you could see in his eyes, in his eyes that he would rather it be Apocalypse, which was just perfect.
Yep.
It was amazing. Shout out Logan. Shout out Wolverine. He's the best. And yeah, that's gonna do it for us, Brian, unless you have anything else to say.
Yep. No, I have nothing else to say to these people.
Okay. So check us out on Twitter, on X, at InfinityBoxRW. We're going to drop all our good stuff over there. You know, follow us, check us out, following is cool. On all the podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, I Love the Radio, iHeart Radio, anywhere podcasts are found, check us out over there. Again, maybe one day I'll get us on Spotify. And then check out my wrestling podcast if you have a chance, Almost WrestleMania time. If you're going to be in Philly, check us out on Twitter at TIR Wrestling. That's going to be cool. And all the same podcast apps plus Spotify for that show. And that'll be it. Cool. Next week, X-Men 97. We love you. Bye-bye.
Later.